When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Managing Madrid podcast. We are live at the Bernabeu some 55 minutes before Real Madrid take the field against Barcelona. And it's been a great week, guys. It's been a really good week. We had our two arch rivals knocked out of the competition of the Champions League, that is. And We, and by we, I mean like all of us collectively, you guys listening, the people on the podcast right now, the hosts, the guests, the Managing Madrid family, we had an amazing week. Not only did Real Madrid advance in the Champions League through heroic fashion, but just it was a great night for the podcast as well. And thank you so much for everyone who became a member to join us on the El Día Después episode where Eduardo Alvarez made a cameo, Meheri was there. And that was a great podcast. We reflected on it. And now we're here for a Clásico, gentlemen, that I honestly like was almost overlooking. I forgot that we played these guys. I was thinking about Bayern Munich. I was thinking about what happened at the Etihad. But we have this game now that Barcelona are going to treat like a World Cup final. So I would like us to win this convincingly if possible. Meheri is here. Sid is here. Lucas is here. Lucas, I'd like to start with you because I haven't spoken to you in a while. You're the only person I actually haven't spoken to after the game. And you're also high on life because you have the Nuggets thing happening. So you have a lot going on for you, right? A lot of good things are happening for Lucas right now. It's also probably sunny in Valencia. Congratulations on everything.
Thanks, man. It's been a good week, definitely. Long time we haven't spoken, but it's so far so good, at least. Hopefully, you know, neither Real Madrid nor the Nuggets end up disappointing. At least me, I know that if the Nuggets end up disappointing me, someone here will be happy. But anyway, yeah, it's been good. It's been a good week, definitely.
Well, how are you guys feeling about this one? Are you feeling like me, like you kind of like almost overlooked the Clásico because of how, I don't know how, if it's correct to say there's little at stake. Obviously, there's something at stake. There's pride. There's some, you know, you want to mathematically secure the league. How are you guys feeling about this one?
I think it's the right feeling. It's common that you overlook these games after such an intense match in Manchester, extra time, 120 minutes, obviously 8-point lead in the table as well, which means that quite possibly this game ends up being all but nothing in the end, unless obviously something big happens, something dramatic happens by the end of the year. So it's quite normal to maybe overlook these games in such a tough week, an intense week for Real Madrid. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams approach this game. I think that Barcelona have a good opportunity to bounce back and send some encouraging signs, at least for their fans. while on the other hand, Real Madrid have the opportunity to put the nail in Barca's coffin, really, not only for the season, but maybe for the project as a whole, maybe. So it'll be interesting to see how the two teams approach this game. We'll obviously end up talking about the lineups later on. But yeah, it's an interesting game because on one hand, I think that Real Madrid can maybe, yeah, this could be a trap game for Madrid. In that regard, you know, rotations have happened. A lot of excitement after the, obviously, understandably so, after the big win at the Etihad. So Real Madrid will need to play with focus and composure, I think, and not in a relaxed way. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams approach.
The lack of emotion I have for this game is almost unprecedented because usually the Clásicos are where everything is at stake. It's a six-pointer or it's like one team is so far ahead, the other team is just, you know, going to be there for something. But this is kind of new. Like, not everything is at stake, but something is at stake and we're coming off of a really great win. So, and Barcelona are visibly morally down. There's like dressing room issues in their team that they're having to force people into believing that those issues don't exist by putting up pictures of Araujo and Gundogan chilling and training and stuff like that. So the feeling is kind of unprecedented for me.
Mehdi, I don't know if it was you or Sid who tweeted that in situations where Real Madrid win the Champions League, and there's a Clásico, or I don't know if it was like about like when Real Madrid have already won the league. Like when Clásicos like this, actually statistically speaking, are not in our favor. When there's like little pressure and we're better than them, clearly there's actually, because I assume the science behind it is, it's like if you had to put a thesis about it, it's probably something like Barcelona are going to take this game really seriously because it's all they have. And it's actually like when you think back to like the Clásico friendlies in the summertime, it's similar too. Similar idea. Like they just give a shit more than we do in these situations. So I don't know. I guess whatever I will say this. Whatever happens, I think Real Madrid will win. I'm very curious to hear how much Sid Harth will go over the top and be like, we're gonna pound these guys. We're gonna destroy them. It's gonna be disgusting. We're gonna say bloodbath. But like I would venture Real Madrid are the better team and they're gonna win. But I'd also Lucas's face is hilarious. I also think that just putting it out there, if the result doesn't go our way tonight, I'm just kind of preemptively taking the decision not to freak out and not care about like not be reactionary for a loss. That's I'm just gonna say that. Sid, please spoil us with your hot takes.
I mean, let's see. Let's go over the history of some of these games. Like 2016. We were, the league was wrapped up for Barcelona. We took it at the Camp Nou. The year after, we were up only 4 points and they took the game off us. That was very devastating.
Yeah.
I like this 8-point cushion because it's really like we're not dropping a 5-point lead with whatever, six games left after this. We're not dropping that. So that's really encouraging.
It could still force you to not rotate ahead of the Bayern games, though. So that would be kind of devastating, given the cushion
because
you have.
The next game
that would be the worst part. Yeah.
Yes, and also we need revenge because last year Kessier, in this similar fixture for them, he really shoved that dagger all the way in, and so we need our Kessier moment where, because you know, like the league was over. Even if we won that game, I don't think we wanted to win the league. But same idea. I mean, there's a lot that plays in favor of both teams and against both teams. Like in favor of Barcelona, they have that one extra day. Their season is basically over. They have nothing else to play for. They might as well go all out today. On the other hand, like you know, they're without Gavi tactically. I don't think they have it in them to press us the way they did when they had Gavi in the team. Like this whole Pedri, Frankie, Christensen unit or Gundogan, like whatever combo they'd make, I don't see how they contain us in transition. For us, like, I think we will be fatigued after our last game. But I think, like, for the players, they want to do this for the fans. I think that's where they're at. I think they've realized, I think they're fans almost on a day like this where, like, they're tired. They're like, let's get one more for our fans. And the morale, if we win this, cannot be overstated. Like, I'd much rather win this than the Sociedad game. Like, I don't care. I'd rather lose the Sociedad game at this point. And then lastly, I just want to say on a personal level, I really hope we win. I wanted it to be a perfect week, and it was almost there. And then last night happened, and the Denver Nuggets beat my Lakers. So, you know, I'm just a perfectionist. And, I mean, I'm just glad Real Madrid are going because, you know, we all know the Lakers were never going to win. But, you know, I just need a good sports day on Sunday so to wash off. Like, that's well, it.
Nope. Surely you know deep down you guys don't have a chance against the Denver Nuggets, right? You know this. Like, so you, that's an L before.
Come on,
you
everyone walk trying through. To jinx us now.
You cannot jinx. Like, there are certain things, Lucas, that are too powerful to jinx. Jokic is too powerful to jinx. You cannot. He's too good. There's nothing you can do with him. It's not playoff Murray. It's over. Like, it's finished. Sid, just like focus on Real Madrid, okay?
Just imagine how much Barcelona have fallen off. We're discussing basketball like 45 minutes before a Clásico.
Yeah. Like, I want a Clásico as a gift because the playoff game didn't go my way.
I'm unbelievably relaxed for this game. I don't even know how to describe. Yeah. I feel like I'm just taking in like a show at like a theater. Like I'm just here like at a theater. By the way, are you guys interested in seeing the 360 screen? I'm sure you've seen it on social media now, but it's in full effect.
How's it looking? Nice. Looking good, yeah.
So
they won't be showing the actual game there, right?
I don't know the game, but I'm hoping they'll show replays, which has never been happened before.
Like in the one against City, those two you have in front of you, which aren't for the fans. Those two had the replays, obviously, and well, not only the replays, the actual game. It was obviously 3 or 4 seconds behind the real thing. But I'm not sure if the general scoreboard for the rest of the fans will be used for replays and so on.
What do you mean,
so, yeah.
City? Do you mean at the Etihad or when you were here?
No. When I was there first leg. Yeah. Uh-oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was confused. Yeah. Yeah. It would be cool. Like, what they should do, what I'm really hoping for is like if there's like a controversial call, the Barca players just came up, warmed up. So I don't know if you can hear the boos or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I would hope to see is like if there's like a controversial call, we'll see like the replay. Like
that's actually not allowed though. I don't think
it should be. I want like us to see the call. I want the ref to like make a bad call and the fans just go ape shit and like that.
Not sure it's allowed, man, in football after the whole implementation of VAR and all that. I'm not sure that's allowed. And the replays, live replays in the stadium and all that. I'm not entirely sure that's allowed. So yeah,
I was listening to one of the recent Bill Simmons podcasts. I don't know which one it was. There's today. I was just walking and. Something that they were just talking about, like how in the NBA, if there's like a bad call, like or they'll show replays, the fans, like it really adds to the atmosphere because the fans go crazy looking at the replay. If there was a call they didn't agree with, it would really add to the atmosphere. Yeah. But I don't think. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to take it in today. But what they started doing is like what you see in the NBA, which is they keep zooming to the fans and the fans are like, oh, it's us on the screen, right? Like that's the whole thing. Yeah. All right. Not important. We're. Like 15 minutes in, we haven't talked about the lineup. is this the first time? So we have, these are the midfielders, although not all of them playing in midfield, but these are the midfielders starting today. Eduardo Camavinga, Aurelien Tchouameni, Toni Kroos, Fede Valverde, Luka Modric, and Jude Bellingham. That's the six. That's all six, like pretty much apart from Dani Ceballos, right? That's all of them. Mm-hmm. So is this the first time this has ever happened?
Yeah,
I remember we had like against Leipzig, we had like five midfielders on the field. So maybe that was a case where we did it. But
I don't think it's been the first time. But anyway, yeah, it's quite unique for sure. So, yeah.
Rudiger is the only designated pure defender in the starting 11.
Yeah.
I don't think we've started Tchouameni at center back and Camavinga.
And Camavinga left? Okay.
I feel like we've seen it for... not in the starting lineup, but situationally off the bench, it's happened. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it happened once because it was shortly after Carlos said, you know, I'll play left back Camavinga as a joke and like chew him in the center back. And it actually happened. And it was like a huge meme. Do you feel like this is, when you look at this lineup, do you feel like this is like Carlo Ancelotti being like, well, would he have done this in like against Bayern, for example? Do you think? I don't think so.
No way. I think this is just a tribute to Modric and Kroos, letting them play their the last Clásico together. Yeah.
Well, is this really the last of Kroos and Modric?
For both together, yes. For Kroos, I don't think.
You don't think there's any chance Modric stays next season?
I don't think so. Well, you were there, so you were able to kind of interpret and read between the lines of what Ancelotti said about Modric not accepting a role as a spark of the bench, which is kind of paraphrasing what he said. I think the writing's on the wall, and I think this is Modric's last season and last Clásico, obviously, for Madrid. Yeah,
I just when I saw him. I mean, I felt very privileged at the Etihad because I just feel like I saw Modric in maybe one of his last Champions League games ever. And he came in off the bench at the Etihad and was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah.
And when I saw things like that, I was like, man, it'd be really nice to have that again, that luxury next season.
Absolutely.
Not as a starter, but to have that kind of like just very calm experience, presence come off the bench in that situation, it would be an incredible luxury to have.
It would be awesome. Yeah. But things don't always go your way. So I don't know. I think it'll be tough to keep him in this role, I think. I think he's been, look, let's be honest, he's maybe not him or his entourage or whatever, his inner circle or whatever you want to call it, has expressed his, how would you say, his discomfort with the role he was given this year after being promised, well, maybe not promised, or at least the reports indicated that he was promised a prominent role on the team, and obviously this is not what he had. So there were some reports in the Spanish press during the first half of the season about, you know, him not being entirely happy about the role he's given. So I think the writing's on the wall. I think he's leaving,
Mehdi, when you see this lineup, is there anything that worries you or things that you look forward to? I could be wrong, but the last big game I think Kroos and Modric started together was actually a game that Lucas and I attended together at the Metropolitano.
It was the last one. Yep.
That did not go too well.
No. Nope.
Obviously, it's a different situation. But Mehdi, what do you think of the lineup?
Yeah, I think the lineup's pretty much okay. The only concern I would have is probably the duel between Kamavinga and Lamine Yamal. It's not a knock on Kamavinga per se, but he hasn't played the left back role for a bit, and Lamine has had some continuity. He's very vertical, and I'm gonna keep an eye on that. With Mendy, I would have no doubts whatsoever. Mendy was going through such a rich vein of form. And the point that he made that the last time Kroos and Modric actually started together, we did not fare too well. That's also not a concern per se in this game, essentially, because Tchouaméni starting, Fede starting, so we have enough physical coverage in the midfield to quote-unquote do the dirty work if Kroos and Modric are not up to that. And they can basically take care of retaining possession, progression. So I feel good about this Clásico and good about this starting 11 as well. The 8-point cushion helps to feel good about this starting 11. I'm interested to see what happens.
I want to see Jude, man. I want to see Bellingham. I mean, he was very useful, obviously, against City, and all due respect to his performance and his solidarity and his contribution to the team's defensive department, which was great. But I want to see him bounce back and contribute offensively, man. I think this is a good context for him. Barcelona are not so great defensively. I think they are a team they could struggle against Bellingham a lot. So I want to see Bellingham tonight. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to gain some momentum ahead of the semifinals.
Yeah, I'm thirsty for like a Bellingham goal festival. Yeah. Like I agree with you. I think he's done so many important things on the field, and I had a whole thing where like you can't really measure this guy by goals and assists because he does so much on the field. But yeah, it would be cool to see. I mean, it's not just a Bellingham thing. I'm just really thirsty for a Manita. Like I don't care if it's Vinicius hat trick, Rodrigo hat trick. I don't care if it's like, you know, Arda Güler, I don't care if it's
whoever,
whoever. I just want to see like a 5-0. It would be nice. Anytime I've asked for it, either that goes terribly wrong, or
if it has to be a 5-0, our players will gonna have to decide that okay, we're gonna go for this. Kahlo is he's never gonna set it up for a 5-0 right. deliberately. Yeah. If the players have to feel angry enough in the moment to just you know bury these guys,
which they never do, as yeah. Steve often says, yeah.
That's correct. I mean, Ancelotti himself has said this. He's like, I'm not here to humiliate Barca. I'm here to win. I don't care about winning 5-0. I care about winning 1-0. And he said this. My voice is gone. I don't know. I can't talk anymore. I don't know what's going on. We were at Sam Sharp, managing just Sam Sharp, and a bunch of patrons. We went to a bar a couple nights ago, and it was so loud. Irish Rover. And we were yelling because we couldn't hear each other. And then my voice is just destroyed. By the way, shout out to all of our members and patrons. Like one of these little like perks you guys get, like random details, is like if you're a member, you get access to like the secret meetup we had at the Irish Rover, which was fun. And we have a lot of members in attendance tonight. So I hope you guys all enjoy the game.
Wait, you said a secret view?
Sorry?
You said secret what?
Meetup.
Secret meeting.
Meetup.
Oh, gotcha.
Secret yes. society of Madridistas.
Secret yeah. society for the elites. Yeah. But like Mehdi, to your point, it's like it's not just it would you're right that Ancelotti wouldn't go for the jugular and start like pushing everyone up, but what would happen is that Barca would get so desperate and they play like a high line, they automatically kill themselves, you know, and we just have weapons in transition that would punish them. But yeah.
Look, and let's be honest, Ancelotti hasn't even started his best available lineup tonight. So Ancelotti, by just from the get-go, he isn't sending this message of, oh, let's go after them. Let's go after Amanita. Today is the day we end this Barcelona project. No, Ancelotti's playing it safe with some of the players who could potentially risk an injury tonight. Lucas is starting. Camavinga is starting on the left ahead of Mendy. Nacho is not starting. Tchouaméni is obviously fresh and ready to start. And obviously, again, we touched on it already. Kroos and Modric are starting together, which potentially might just be Ancelotti's tribute to this historic midfield duo who ruled the entire European football for a decade, but definitely maybe not the best appropriate midfield if you actually want to dominate a game in 2024. So, yeah.
It's interesting. I think there are only a few games where I would start them together. And, you know, the first comparison I see a lot of people doing is to the 4-0 from 2 years ago because we started the Cruz, Modric, Fede midfield. Obviously, last year,
Well, they were starting as false nines, yeah.
Oh, right. No,
it was false nine that game. That's a totally different situation, I think.
I forgot. That game did not exist. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess some people are just comparing it to that game. Like, oh, is Carlo just going out on a limb, putting out
it's similar.
I think it's different just because, firstly, Barcelona are actually a less scary team than the one that beat us 4-0 2 years ago. It's,
are they?
I mean, if you
Aubameyang scored twice for them in that game?
Yeah, yeah. I just mean they haven't. I don't think they've had a 20-game stretch as successful since that season. Like they had a good fall, after they signed Lewandowski, and then they barely scraped over the line in the league the spring after, and then this whole year they've been average. It's just they looked smooth. They had Piqué, Alves, Busquets. They played through the press in a very smooth way, and I feel they've lost that very high level of adaptable press resistance on the ball over the years, even though their players are good. I feel they've lost it since they lost the veterans that were on that team in that 4-0s, Piqué, the Busquets, the Alves, and the Alba as well. And so that's gone, and they've also lost Gavi to the ACL.
Right.
So, I think they're but at the same time, they haven't lost their strange desire to win every Clasico 6-0. That hasn't changed. So when I see in January, we completely ripped them apart, like jiu-jitsu them. They tried pressing us. Jude just drifted to the wide, played his little Trivella outside of the foot through ball. We scored. I think Carlo looked at that and said, okay, let's start Cruz and Modric. I think they'll try to press us. We'll walk through them, slice and dice them. I think this might be a surprisingly good Cruz and Modric outing is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think, look at their midfield, Christensen, Frankie, Gundo. What are they going to do? Like, they're not going to press us that crazy well. Is Lewandowski going to harass our center backs?
Well, that's what makes it interesting to me. Actually, like, if now that I think about it, like, now I'm starting to, like, think about the Clasico now, like, 30 minutes before the game. I really wasn't caring much about it before this. But it really depends on how they approach it. I mean, one of the interesting things about Barca is that, like, for example, you take the Super Cup against us, where they're, as good as we were, their tactics were suicidal against us. We remember this, right?
Yeah.
If you contrast that to the way they approach PSG, they went into a low block against PSG and defended really well. What do they do against us? I don't necessarily know. But, like, if they pressure us, and Sid brought up those points, like Lewandowski at this stage of his career, plus Gundogan at this stage of his career, plus Christensen, I don't know how much they're going to press us. But if they do press us, obviously, Modric and Kroos are two players you want on the field in that situation. But are they going to play deeper and rely on Lamine Yamal counterattacks like they did against PSG? And in that situation, maybe they want to exploit the space behind Kamavinga if we push up the field and Modric and Kroos are not going to track in that situation. That's where I think it actually becomes dangerous for us if they approach it that way, you know?
That's what they should do, yeah. What we know, maybe Xavi is often too stubborn to kind of let Real Madrid dominate a game after all this narrative that he himself has created and fueled for the last decade or so, that Barcelona DNA never allows you to defend in a low block against Real Madrid because that's not quality football. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, Xavi has been doing a lot of things that he previously, you know, said something and now he's, like, tracking back on those.
Yeah.
The luck thing, he previously said, like, Real Madrid are lucky in the Champions League. Yesterday he said he doesn't believe in luck. So, what would happen? I think I agree with Kian on this. I think Barcelona are going to be more conservative than we are expecting them to be, because they kind of got a lesson against PSG that in a good way for them, that if they sit a bit deep, they have the tools to hit certain teams in on the counter. Madrid will be playing at home. I think we will be pressing a bit higher than usual anyway, with, and especially with Kroos and Modric, we have that assurance that we're not going to lose the ball higher up the pitch. We can hold on to the ball for longer times. For that, if we come like with all guns blazing, I think Barcelona are destined to sit deep and hit Lamine on the counter.
Yeah.
Tchouameni is doing a Rabona like long range passing right now on the field. Fans are clapping. I'll do a quick turnaround because the players just came out. So there was a loud roar, but my microphone was on mute. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah.
But
small tifo tonight, Kian.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the size it is.
Yeah, but it was huge against City.
You were lucky. Yeah. What you got against City was something I haven't seen like since the 90s. Like, it was crazy what we did against City. But yeah, I'll show you what's going on the screen, Sue, if you can see.
Ah, they're showing the warm-ups and all. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, close-up of the warm-ups. There's a super chat, and then we can wrap it up after that.
All right.
Ramke says, if we go one goal ahead, they will mentally crumble.
I think so. I think that if Real Madrid play this game with a business mentality and take care of business and play it with composure and focus and all that, they are the better team, and Barcelona are very fragile mentally, and they will not play together after what happened on the game against PSG, you know, the whole Araujo and Gundogan fiasco and all that. That dressing room is in a bit of a mess right now. So Real Madrid can definitely take advantage of that if they play with focus and composure. Will they do that? That's what I would hope. It's the same I thought about, and again, another Nuggets Real Madrid analogy, last night against the Lakers, because, you know, I'm always confident if the Nuggets play with focus and composure against the Lakers, but I was afraid of, hey, we're better than them, we're on an 8-game winning streak, and that's what actually happened for the first half or so. And you know, the Lakers kind of surprised the Nuggets a little bit in that first half, and I think the same could happen tonight if Real Madrid don't take things seriously. That's all they need. Take things very seriously, treat this game with a business mentality, at least maybe for just 60 minutes. Just play it with composure and focus for 60 minutes, get a 2-goal lead, show that you're dominating, and then, okay, I don't need to go for a manita. It would be nice. I don't need to. and just get a workman mentality, finish the game up in the 60th minute, and let us all enjoy Arda Güler highlights for the last 20, 25, 30 minutes of the game. Yeah.
It's going to be like 2017 Super Cup all over again with Cruz and Modric dancing against Barcelona.
Right? If we are 2-0 up at halftime, I think we might see Amanita today. It's just a weird feeling I have. Yeah.
Especially if Araujo repeats his antics in the first half, then that's our best shot.
Yeah, but this is La Liga. Araujo has a free pass in La Liga.
That's true. You can use your hands. I forgot. That's why he got sent off in the championship.
Kian, did they show the video they made from the referee on the screen by any chance?
No. Did they make a video for the referees for this one? Oh, yeah, okay.
Look, let's be honest. I think Real Madrid have the most to lose here in this game, and that means to me that they should not try to embarrass Barcelona in any significant way with these celebrations and these things, because Barca have nothing to lose. They don't care about twisting Vinicius' ankle in a dirty tackle late in the second half, and then Vinicius will be slightly injured for the semifinals. So again, workman mentality would be my perfect approach to this game. Treat very seriously, even if it's only for 45 or 60 minutes.
Lucas, you're talking about treating this seriously, and I just saw that Rudiger scared a policeman who was in the Bernabeu.
Nice, right on cue. Well, Rudiger gets a free pass as well. Rudiger gets a free pass for me.
He did something like this by going towards the police.
Like in the street?
No, in
one of those security guys, the stewards, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's not really like a police guy. That's just like a... I was going to say, because it's actually kind of dangerous to do that to a police guy.
This is a police guy. It says police with, like, he has...
Policia?
Police.
Oh, that's kind of dangerous. Those guys are packing, like, machine guns, man. Because think about this. If the police guy doesn't know who it is, he doesn't know it's Rudiger. He could think it's just some guy, like... He could turn around.
Rudiger is in his kit. He has his shirt, Real Madrid shirt.
Yeah, but if he comes up behind, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm very worried about Rudiger.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, guys, we are going to be back 1 hour after the game. I know Sid is going to be here. Mehedi is going to be here. Yeah. Lucas is not, right? Lucas?
Too late for me. Yeah, I think it'll be too late for me.
And Yash is joining us as well.
So it's 1 hour after the game?
1 hour after the game. Right, yeah, cool. Did you not know that?
No, I thought like right after.
Because I have to go to the press conferences. That's why.
Sure. He wants to ask Xavi about the state of the grass. Right, Kian?
We'll see. I don't know. It depends on how the game goes.
Well, he'll probably complain following the queue, Guardiola's queue the other day. How's the grass looking, by the way, Kian?
I don't know. From here, it looks good. The screens, it looks good. But I never know because I can't see that well. I'm not like sometimes I think it looks good, but then after the people are complaining about it. So like,
after the first leg against City was that it looked really good at the beginning, and then it got worse like really quick. After the first 10 or 15 minutes, it like got worse all of a sudden. It was surprising. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, this is the last time I see you, Lucas, before the Lakers complete the 4-1 gentleman sweep of Denver. Real Madrid win.
Oh, you know what? Lucas, you should be careful with those words, because Lucas, our Sid, has been bang on with all those predictions. He said we would wax City. He said we would wax Leipzig.
I'm very careful, man. You're the one jinxing the Denver Nuggets. I was actually scared when the Lakers beat the Pelicans. I'd rather face the Pelicans, no kidding.
I'm a delusional basketball fan. But, we have a small, very small chance. But anyways, I'm excited. Guys, Super Cup 2017 style. Let's dance on them. Let's dance on their grave. Yeah. Let's dance, make it 2-0, and then sub off Vinny so they can't.
Exactly.
I don't think 2-0 is a scoreline that Carlo would look at and be like, yeah, okay, we can sub off our guys now.
Possibly.
Carlo would need at least a 3-0.
One more, for that to happen.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind Arda Güler goal as well. That's gonna blow this.
Ooh, his first classical goal. The Turkish army would go crazy. Yeah.
Remember, they were chanting "Vinny die" before their championship.
Right. Showed that video.
Yeah, so that's actually, that might actually, we might see a lot of heat on the pitch. I hope Bellingham punches Araujo.
Oh no, man, we have to play Sociedad next game, and Bellingham already has been sent off this season. Hold on.
I think, like, to cap off like the week from hell from Barca, for Barca, like getting knocked out of the Champions League, and then Real Madrid beating City, and then losing a Clásico, like the icing on the cake would be if Arda Güler scored against them. That would be like the ultimate, like, all right, guys, we're officially dead. We are deceased. Like, it's over. See you next season. Thanks. Awesome, guys. Enjoy the game.
You too, man.
Thanks for hopping on. And we'll see you after the game on YouTube, 1 hour after the game-ish. Possibly sooner if Ancelotti's press conference gets done in time. Okay? So I would say try to, like, be here 20 minutes before the hour mark, just in case we start early, because we may start early. I know we never start early. We always start late. But today we're going to try to start early. It highly depends on Ancelotti's press conference is done. All right, Lucas, thank you. Sid, thank you.
Man. Peace.
Right. Hedy, thank you. Peace out, guys. Take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.